To make a fiberglass body for a race car, you first need a mold. There are a few ways to make a mold. The old and inexpensive way is to use wood sections, fill the area in between the sections with foam, and sand that down flat. The easy and expensive way is to slide somebody with a giant CNC router, several thousand dollars, and a CAD model, and then a foam part shows up on your doorstep a few weeks later. I chose the middle ground, which is where I use my medium-sized CNC router, go buy a bunch of insulating foam from the hardware store, and machine the body in several smaller pieces, gluing them together after. So there is the difficult, cheap way, and an easy, expensive way, and my way, which is both easy and inexpensive. As long as everything goes right the first time. This is my race car. You will notice, if you look closely, that it is not very aerodynamic. It looks more like a truss bridge than a race car, and we are going to fix that. I have designed a body, iterated with CFD help from AirShaper, and I chopped it up into several pieces, each of which will be made slightly differently. The front needs to be done well, so we're going to start at the back by making these two parts. The engine cover and the bottom of the tail, which I am calling the diaper, partly because I randomly chose brown for the color in CAD, but also because this is where all the fluids will end up when my car starts leaking oil and coolant as the engine explodes at 250 miles per hour. Both of these parts will be made the same way, moldless construction. I'll get into the details in a later video, but basically we're going to make a foam block that looks like this part, wrap it in some mold release film, and then just lay fiberglass on top of it. Easy Composites has a good video on this process that I'll link in the description, or you can just wait a few weeks until I do my video, which I promise will not include any ham sandwiches. Today, we're just making the foam. But first, the news. When it comes to the news, it is absolute chaos out there, and it's so easy to feel like you're informed when the information you're getting is not accurate. There are biases, filter bubbles, financial incentives, the algorithm. When I look at the news, I'm not looking for entertainment. I'm not looking for opinion. I just want to know what's going on. That's why I read Ground News, and that's why I chose to bring them on as a sponsor. Ground News gathers related articles from news sources around the world. It gives you context about the source of the information, their political bias, the reliability of their reporting, who owns them, all backed by three independent news monitoring organizations. Ground News will show you if you're only getting one side of the story. It will show you how a story is being reported across the political spectrum. It will also show you how many sources are reporting on a particular story. Take a look at this story on Google removing links to California news sites. It's been covered by 46 sources, mostly center and left. You can scroll down and clearly see the different way the same story is being reported on by different sides of the media. When you can see the discrepancies and see the different perspectives, it becomes a lot easier to see what's actually happening in the world. Go to ground.news/superfastmat to give it a try. If you sign up through my link, you'll get 40% off the Vantage plan, which is what I use to get unlimited access to all the features. So check it out. The foam body actually starts with some garage organizing. I promise this will be brief. A while ago, I built a shelf on the side of my garage for the Land Speed car to slide underneath, and it fits great right now. But as soon as it has a body or a tail, it won't fit anymore. But there is an easy fix for this. The CNC router I have in the back here is sitting on a couple of tables I made, but it doesn't need to be sitting on the tables. I can make a platform that is screwed directly into the wall and just has one support leg sticking down. So I did that, and I also extended the shelf above it and anchored it into the ceiling joist, so now the CNC has its own little cave. And the space underneath it is an extra 5 feet longer, so I can fit a race car with a body under there. Actually, this isn't true, I still have to take the tail off. But it will fit without having to take both the nose and the tail off, which is nice. The CNC I'm using is made by Onefinity. They're not a sponsor or anything, but I do really like this machine. It has a lot of capability for the cost. It'll do aluminum, just barely, but it really excels at wood and hopefully foam. I had to disassemble it to move it around because it's kind of heavy, and I reassembled it by screwing it back in roughly where it was when I took it apart. I also upgraded the CNC with a vacuum table. This was pretty easy to do. I cut out grooves 1 inch apart in a grid, and I cut out a little pocket for a vacuum connection. I just take this rubber cord and run it in a loop that is slightly smaller than the final size of the part I'm cutting. I stick the vacuum in the port I 3D printed, and it sucks the part down to the table. It's surprisingly strong. I can push it with a lot of force and it won't budge. This way, I can throw the foam on there, vacuum it down, and don't have to worry about clamps or screws or anything holding it down. The foam we're using for this is pink insulation foam. It's extruded polystyrene. It's the same thing as styrofoam. It's usually used for insulation in houses, sometimes for decorations, and occasionally for building airplanes and race cars. It comes in thicker sheets, but most stores carry 1 and 2 inch thickness. My router has a cutting height of 5 inches, so we'll have to make these parts in smaller chunks and glue them together afterward. It also has a table length of 4 feet, or roughly 1/5 of a race car. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut these foam boards into 4 parts, making them 2 feet by 4 feet. Then we'll stack together a couple of 2-inch pieces with 1 1-inch piece to make a part that is 2 feet by 4 feet by 5 inches. We're going to have to make 15 of these for these 2 parts. In CAD, I can chop up these parts into separate pieces that can all be cut out of these blocks. The problem with this foam is that it gets everywhere when you cut it. You just get tiny pieces of foam all over the place. But you can cut it with a hot wire. At least I think you can. There's certainly one way to find out. Thing is, I don't actually have a hot wire cutter, but I do have some stainless steel tie wire and a car battery sitting in a rusted out RV. So we got some gloves, some pliers, some breathing protection, and gave it a go. It worked great. Then we got cocky and cut the 1-inch ones 3 at a time. And then we tried to cut the 2-inch ones 4 at a time. That did not work, but only because we also accidentally tried to cut the table in 2. We then glued all the foam together in our 5-inch stacks, some of them in 4-inch stacks because that's all we need in some areas. We used 3M Super 77 for this. I read in some places that this eats away at the foam, but we didn't have any problem with that. It's not the strongest adhesive for this, but it is plenty strong. I found out later that 3M actually sells a spray adhesive specifically for polystyrene foam. It's not available at any local hardware store, so I had to order it, but if you're doing this kind of thing, I recommend it. It's definitely strong enough. Some of you are wondering why I'm using hardware insulation foam and not tooling foam that is specifically made for this kind of thing, and that is a small section of viewers who know that tooling foam exists but have never priced tooling foam. It's expensive, about 5 times more expensive, and certainly more than I want to pay. I might have to use it on some parts of the body, but for this, we're going with this foam. It's actually not too dissimilar from low-density tooling foam. It does create a bit of a mess, but how bad could it be? Oh god, it looks like Barbie exploded. This router has 5 inches of height travel, but it doesn't normally have 5 inches of clearance, so I had to stick in some blocks to raise it up. I'm using end mills that are specifically made for foam, both with 6 inches of cutting length, one flat end and one ball end, so I can get complex contours. I did some test cuts to make sure everything looked good. These are plugs for the alignment holes. I designed all of these parts with 1-inch holes through them, so I can use PVC pipe running through all the pieces to make sure they line up. The plan is to stick these foam plugs in the top holes and sand them down flush. Cutting went well, but it did make a huge mess. I use the flat end mill to hog out material, and then I swap in the ball end mill to cut the curves. You usually don't want to use a ball end mill to rough out a lot of material since the center doesn't cut that well. Foam is pretty easy as long as you follow a couple of basic rules. 1. Conventional milling. This is the opposite to climb milling, which will cause tear outs and a bad surface finish. You also need to have the right spindle speed and feed rate. A lot of CNC routers use actual routers as the cutter, and those can't go slower than about 10,000 RPM, which is a lot higher than the maximum speed for the router bits that I'm using. I have an actual spindle, so no worries there. The first part I made was the diaper, which is in 3 separate pieces. Because of the shape, these 2 were machined from this direction, while this one was machined from this direction. This one had a small issue where part of it yeeted itself off into the foam abyss. I had to glue it back on and I'll need to smooth it down with a sander. The first 2 pieces lined up perfectly, but the last one didn't. The 4 holes didn't line up, and actually the front was a little off, and the rear was a little off, and the sides were all off. Since the first 2 parts lined up, I thought maybe the 3rd one shifted while I was machining it. I could make this work with some sandpaper and filler, but after I made this part, I decided it was a good time to clean up the horror show that is my CAD model, and I noticed I was machining to an older design. It's very similar, but a little different in some areas. Again, sandpaper and time could fix this, but with the chunk taken out, the old data, and the fact that this piece just wouldn't line up right, I decided to call this a practice piece and just remade the whole thing. Okay, this mess is totally unacceptable. It looks like somebody drove through a flock of pink flamingos with a snowplow. It is a horror show of foam everywhere, and the machine is getting clogged up with smashed foam, limiting its travel. I decided to add dust collection, but not actually dust collection. I don't want a dust collector, mostly because they take up too much space. So I went to Harbor Freight and bought the finest vacuum they had. This also has the added benefit of giving me the use of a vacuum while the other one is busy holding the parts down. I also got a separator, which is supposed to separate the air from the dust, but it doesn't really work with lightweight things like foam, so this kind of just sits in the middle for fun. It is taped together because for some reason this thing only works with Harbor Freight 5-gallon buckets. Typically on these machines, the dust collection hose comes out from the front, but I had mine come out from the rear because it fit better. I printed an adapter that zip ties to the bottom of the spindle bracket and has an outlet coming out the back. This pulls air in the slot in the front and also some from below. This worked great, sucking up most of the pink tornado into the opening, back through this hose, into the separator that doesn't separate, into the vacuum, and then I added an exhaust hose to share the foam with the whole neighborhood. Now, I had a filter in the vacuum. This is really just there to keep the vacuum from blowing the existing dust all around the garage. Machining this time went great, with all the parts having a tiny little bit of foam that satisfyingly peeled right off the bottom. Except, there was one problem. Again, the top layer didn't line up right. With the front square, the back was off, and with the back lined up, the front was not square. I double-checked the CAD to make sure I wasn't cutting non-symmetric parts. Everything was good there. The difference between these lower two that do line up and the upper one that doesn't is that I milled them from opposite sides. And then it hit me. The left and right of the machine are shifted, so when I cut this edge, it does it straight, but as I continue to the right, it moves about a quarter of an inch as it goes. So you end up with a parallelogram. You need to make sure the machine is square when you bolt it down, and I just assumed it was since I screwed it back in where it came from, but apparently it was not. In fact, it's possible that it wasn't square before either. This has never been a problem because I've never cut anything this large. This is why the first piece didn't fit. It wasn't because it shifted while it was cutting like I thought. It's because the machine is not square. This is pretty easy to see when you lay down a carpenter square on the grid that I cut on the vacuum table. It also looks like it's bowed in the X direction, with more space in the middle than the ends. It's about 1 millimeter. I thought this might be due to the heavy spindle I have loaded on the front, twisting the top. This would be worse in the middle since it's unsupported and amplified with my extra long bit. After digging through the forums and trying to sift the good info from the pedantic douchebags, I confirmed this to be the case. It's common on these machines and exacerbated by the larger spindle and extended reach bit. So, we have another piece of trash, and a machine that needs to be squared up. This kind of sucks, but I'm glad I figured this out before machining the entire body, and even before making the fiberglass. It would not have been fun trying to figure out why nothing lined up. There are actually three ways that this machine is geometrically wrong. The parallelogram, which is my fault since I didn't square it up when I bolted it down. The twist from the rails making the x-axis curve, and there's also a sag in the rails making the x-axis droop in the middle. These last two are just consequences of the stiffness of the machine. It's part of the reason a CNC mill costs 50 times what this thing does. For most of the things people do with these machines, it doesn't matter, and actually for most of what I'm doing, it doesn't matter. The parallelogram problem matters, and I do have to fix that. Onefinity sells an add-on for this machine to compensate for the sagging. It's an extra bar for the top of the X-rail that they call a stiffy.
I'm getting a stiffy.
Me too.
I have also decided to get a stiffy, and it is in the mail. When I do get my stiffy, I might load up some weight on the rear to see if that gets rid of the twist entirely, and then I can check the sag in the middle to see if the stiffy can deal with the added weight. But that is for another time. This time is for squaring up the machine. I busted out a carpenter square and clamped it to a straight edge to get a measurement. I also measured from corner to corner with a tape measure, then did some math. And by did some math, I mean I sketched it up in CAD and had the computer do math for me. Shifting this corner back about 0.02 of an inch got it square. I double-checked this by getting a couple scrap pieces of foam and cutting opposite edges at 90 degrees. Then I flipped one over on top of the other, and they're pretty much eyeball perfect. It sucks that I have to make three of these things, but I'm glad I figured this out early. This is the only part that has machining from two different directions, and I could have easily made the entire engine cover and not been able to figure out why it didn't fit. So let's try that again.
Fight!
At this point, my chosen direction is trending towards both more expensive than the expensive solution and more difficult than the difficult solution. I decided to make it slightly more expensive by further upgrading the CNC with lighting. Should have started with this. And while the vacuum did a good job at keeping the foam in the vacuum, it was not great when it came time to move the foam from the vacuum to trash bags, so I got those bags that go inside the vacuum. Should have also started with this. I'm learning lots of things. Now I can just tape up the bag and send it off to plastic recycling, where it will definitely not just get incinerated. By the way, don't Google this, it's a really depressing rabbit hole. Machining went well this time. I decided to see if I could skip switching between the flat end mill and ball end mill, and just do the whole thing with a ball end mill. It hogs out material just fine, but it doesn't really save any time. It only takes a few minutes to swap out the end mills. Also, the bottom edge is left with this fillet that I have to trim off, and it makes it harder to line up this piece with the one below it. But overall, it all worked well, and everything lined up. Finally, it worked. And I even managed to reuse some of the old parts that didn't line up, so that wasn't a total waste. I did manage to get three parts made, kind of. The diaper, 1/3 of the engine cover, and the windshield mold, which we will talk about later and might be a total disaster. What's all this white stuff? Well, that is lightweight filler, usually used on drywall. It's great for filling in little cracks and holes. The only problem is that it's noticeably harder than the foam, so sanding it down just kind of takes down the foam next to it. So I just kind of spread it all over, making a nice candy shell, even though it specifically says not to do that. I also think I'm going to paint it. I tried this 2X Rust-Oleum on the advice of someone on the internet who said it wouldn't eat away the foam, but, and you're not going to believe this, a random guy on the internet was wrong. So I got some latex paint to try out. And that's about it. I still need to drive back to the hardware store and buy more foam so I can finish off the rest of the engine cover, but maybe before that I will try to lay up fiberglass on the diaper and see how well it all works. I'm sure that just like this, that will go perfectly the first time. Thanks for watching.
It used to be that you had to impress people to get people to watch your show. Now you just have to impress the algorithm. So do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. All hail the algorithm.